Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Zioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
I want to play this clip for you. This is Chelsea Handler. She's getting a lot of blowback for this from what she said. The white-splaining by the lefty comedian. I think she's a comedian. I don't particularly find her that funny, but nevertheless, this is what she said.
Heard about my ex-boyfriend, right, 50 Cent, and his support of Donald Trump.
Yeah, what's going on between you? I saw your tweets, and I go, wait, what's happening? Because you said he was your favorite ex-boyfriend, and then he, what does he do? He's supporting Trump?
He says he doesn't want to pay 62% in taxes, which, by the way, isn't a plan of Joe Biden's. That's a lie. So he doesn't want to pay 62% of taxes because he doesn't want to go from being 50 cents to 20 cent. And I had to remind him that he was a black person, so he can't vote for Donald Trump, and that he shouldn't be influencing an entire swath of people who may listen to him because he's worried about his own personal pocketbook. So I haven't heard back from him yet, but I am willing to, you know, seal the deal in more ways than one if he changes his mind and publicly denounces Donald Trump. I might be willing to go for another spin, if you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so there you go. Chelsea Handler white-splaining to Fitty that he can't vote for Trump because he's black. There you go. Very nice. By the way, the five right now, I keep the TV on. I turn the volume down. The five is at Point Pleasant Beach. And I have to say, the crowd we get at Cape May is bigger than the crowd they have at Martell's Tiki Bar in Point Pleasant. Are you watching this, DeSantis? You see this?
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. I mean, we've had some really good crowds in Cape May.
Yeah. I mean, massive crowds. The best, huge. But I'm watching the five beach bash, and our crowds are bigger. I'm pretty sure. So, just saying. Joining us now, as he does every Friday, the author of the book Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, Dr. Wilfred Riley. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, it's been a while, and you know, I'm assuming you've been busy putting up rainbows everywhere, and I guess you just ran out of time. I don't know.
No, not really. Actually, ironically, years ago, when the only issue was gay marriage, I lived in the hood. I'm from Chicago, but I lived in East Aurora, which is a working class, like Hispanic and Eastern European neighborhood. And I actually had a rainbow flag because my girlfriend identified as a member of like the LGBT community. So we had one on my porch, and every now and then people would stop and ask, like, "Hey, bro, you're from here? What is this?" So that was the one that I've owned in my life since the movement of the LGBT campaign to trans rights and so on about 12 years ago. I haven't really been very pride active. So I've mostly been trying to sell my book, honestly.
Well, good. Congratulations on the book. Yeah, I was being sarcastic about the rainbows. I find it, the virtue signaling just nauseating. I mean, it's America in the year 2024. Enough already, you know? And the fact that they're also trying to tie this into the indoctrination of our children. I mean, there's a town by me in South Jersey where for their Pride Day, they had a drag queen story hour at the local library. It's stuff like that. I'm just like, come on, you know?
Well, yeah, I think that one of the things with the kids is that it's not so much that people don't want kids learning about gay sex, it's that people don't want kids learning about sex.
Right.
I mean, I think, like, I don't want to be crude about this, but this is something that's only forgotten when it comes to gay sexuality and gender. If someone said, you know, "I'm your teacher, I'm Miss Jones, my favorite intimate position is cowgirl, I like men over 6 feet tall," the comments, you'd be fired immediately. And the same thing with a lot of this stuff. The transgender teacher in Canada who showed up wearing a see-through crop top with enhanced size double D breasts and a miniskirt. If you were actually a businesswoman who did this, you'd be called into the office the first time, and the second time they'd just let you go at the bank or whatever. I mean, so I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, not just I may have some mild prejudice against homosexuality. I think it's fairly common, and many religions have that view. But also, like, no one gets to do this. That's the primary objection to the Pride parades in most of the major Midwest cities. I mean, these are fairly stodgy places, a lot of German heritage, African-American heritage, a lot of churches. And so you don't normally see naked people walk through the middle of town. And when that happens, people get kind of annoyed by it.
Did you see, by the way, in Philadelphia where you had the Pride Parade marchers and then the pro-Palestinian Parade marchers, and they all clashed? It was like woke versus woke, and they were woke on woke violence. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, a lot of my friends were joking about that in kind of group chat settings, like, yeah, you know, the pro Queers for Palestine rave held on the roof and all that sort of thing. I mean, like, There's an element of humor to it, but the simple reality is that radical Islam, well, Islam in general, including the perfectly mainstream Sunni version that our allies had during the recent wars, is not tolerant of homosexuality. So if you're campaigning for Palestinian rights, and there are two marches scheduled for the same day, it's funny, but you're going to see more and more of this kind of thing. And that's actually a strategic problem for the Democrats. Like, there's a big tent for the GOP. Sure, you've got, like, business people and preachers and home managers and so on. But the Democrats' tent is almost all of society. Like, it goes from, you know, radical Islam to a third of the Orthodox Jews. So the question is, what is the unifying factor variable that holds those people together? And it used to be kind of opposition to what really was in 1950, like an 80%+ Anglo, very stultifying culture. Women didn't have a lot of rights, but that's been gone for decades. So what is it now?
Let me play this clip for you. This was something that went kind of viral. Davis Harris Jr. on Instagram posted this. This is a woman now. This is a man dressed up in drag and then talking to a woman who's got the rainbows and everything like this. And take a listen to this exchange, Dr. Wilford Riley.
Would you say you're pro-Palestine or pro-Israel?
Pro-Palestine.
As a gay man, I would be punished and or put in prison or killed if I were openly gay in Palestine. How do you react to that?
I didn't know that. So
it is illegal to be gay in Palestine. You are punished by prison or death.
Israel?
No, Israel has gay pride. Israel is completely open to lesbian and gay people. So Palestine puts them in prison or kills them. You weren't aware of that?
I was not aware of that, no. So that does pose an interesting aspect.
That poses an interesting aspect.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny. Like, so first of all, one thing that has to be remembered is that youth
sorry, something in my throat. Youth protesters usually don't know what they're talking about. This was the whole thing to me with the Greta Thunberg worship, even before the George Floyd worship began. Greta Thunberg struck me as like a high school raver kid that didn't want to go to class. So, I mean, someday at around age 15, she posted up in front of the library with a big sign that said school strike for climate and sat out there reading romance novels and collecting money. And this was treated as though it were this brilliant statement about the environment. And no one seemed to just say, look, the emperor has no clothes here. This kid didn't want to go to physics class. So I don't think that the huge majority of these people, especially during finals week, know anything about Israel or Palestine. I think, and by the way, like, I'm pro-Israel, very pro-Israel, but there are legitimate issues on both sides. The Jews and the Arabs fought a very bloody war in 48. So you have the Mizrahi, who are people of Jewish faith that are expelled from the Arab states. And they, by and large, were forced to settle in Israel, often at the barrel of a gun, an Arab gun. But then you also did have those Palestinians, around 700,000, who were expelled from their farmlands because they gave aid to the incoming Arab armies at the 48 war. That's before the Six-Day War, the 67 War. So this is a complex situation. These are people that have been fighting since the Bible. So you could support Palestine, but I don't think most of the people that are out there on the student side know where these countries are. Like, I'm pretty sure that if I were to go to K-State and UK have, you know, dispersed these demonstrations, the University of Tennessee or something, with a map that identified, like, Turkey as Palestine and asked people how they felt about Palestine while pointing at Turkey, they would say things like, we're just a wonderful country. You know, so that doesn't surprise me. There's another video, kind of last thing, where they ask people actually, like, okay, so the chant is from the river to the sea. What's the river and what's the sea? And in college, even I would have known this, because the sea is the Mediterranean. Like, it's a pretty big sea. It touches Italy and Greece and places people are from. But no one knew it. It was like, I don't know, the Atlantic. So Palestine is like a symbol. It's a symbol for goodness, and Israel is a symbol for white people or something.
Yeah, that's literally what they say. And then we've talked about this before, you and I. Israel has to be the oppressor because there always has to be an oppressor, and there always has to be the oppressed, right?
Yeah, now, of course, in reality, these narratives, which come from American Jim Crow, don't make sense anywhere outside of American Jim Crow. So in reality, I mean, the Jews and the Arabs are both Caucasian populations. That's how they're counted in the USA and almost all other countries. They're both pretty financially stable. I mean, you know, a cynic might say these are among the richest groups in the world. You know, the Arabs live on top of the world's oil reserves.
Right.
So the argument that one of them is oppressing the other, certainly that the Israelis, who live in one small state but surrounded by the entire population of the Middle East, the worst neighborhood in the world, are behaving in kind of an oppressive, you know, southern sheriff fashion, it doesn't make any sense. But it fits into the narrative that people have kind of been taught ever since high school, ever since middle school on the American left. But yeah, to cling to that, to keep repeating that kind of Howard Zinn take, that's a sign you don't know too much about what's really going on.
All right, now, the book is coming out on June 11th, and I'm excited because it's going to debunk a lot of the Howard Zinn nonsense. It's lies my liberal teacher told me. Here's one of the questions I want to ask. I'm so excited you wrote about this. Okay. I can't even tell you. Because I have been arguing this for years. It is one of the lies that the Southern strategy turned the South Republican.
Yeah, well, what I find is that that's by and large not true. So the argument of the Southern strategy argument to me is a Democratic attempt to try to overcome some awkward historical facts. So the Republican Party, I mean, both parties have had their situations with corruption and so on over the years. Biden's done some things, Trump did some things, Clinton did some things. But I mean, the Republican Party began in opposition to slavery in the United States. That's a major thing in the chartering documents of the GOP.
Right.
And so, I mean, Abe Lincoln, who freed the slaves, let's never forget that, was a Republican. And it went on from there. I mean, when you look at the Civil Rights Act in the United States, far more Republicans voted for the bill than did Democrats. And that's true, as I understand, region by region, northern, southern, etc. So this has often been something that Republicans have pointed out in conversation, like, you guys call us racist. And we might not, you know, hate Confederate flags in bars or something, but if you actually look at history, we did this, this, this. So the response over the 80s and 90s became, well, yeah, but the parties kind of switched positions. Like, we've all heard that said.
Yeah.
And the argument was that the Republicans used appeals to sort of crude racism to move white voters, and in particular the South, over to the GOP. And there's actually not very much evidence for that. Like, if you actually look at the way counties voted, especially for Congress, over the next 25 years, what you find is that they changed very slowly. So, like, the South, the actual congressional majority, not the vote in the GOP primary or something like that, but the actual congressional majority didn't shift radically away from what it had been, you know, when the Dixiecrats were running for decades more. And a big reason for that shift was people moving to the South. There's actually a great short Washington Post article called How Willis Carrier Invented the New South. But it's basically just about air conditioning. And the argument is that prior to modern AC, prior to a lot of people having enough income for second homes, prior to that sort of thing, people would vacation in the South. They'd go to the quote-unquote redneck Riviera. They'd travel around. But they wouldn't live in the South for pretty obvious reasons. It gets to 105 during the summer, even here. But after that, after you had, you know, central air and central heating, and after you had companies move to places like Atlanta, people started moving to the South, and those type of young executives always vote Republican. And you can track that trend, and you can see that that's what actually caused Southerners to start voting for the GOP. And another thing that I say in the book is that you also have to look at actual policy. Like, the Democrats and the Republicans used to be a lot closer. But, I mean, as the Democrats move toward their modern policy on abortion, modern policy on immigration, that kind of thing, you have to ask, like, which party is closer to the median Southerner? Is it the Democrats of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, or is it the Republicans of, say, Donald Trump or Ron Reagan? And, I mean, again, there's data on that. There are polls consistently showing who people in the South like and identify with. And that's frequently black guys, by the way. I mean, Byron Donalds, Ben Carson, even Tim Scott, who used to play some football, a big, normal guy. It doesn't have a lot to do with race. It has a lot to do with party presentation, which changed over 50, 60, 70 years. I think that's a good, simple way of putting it.
Yeah, I've always said there's an unbroken line of progressivism from Woodrow Wilson all the way up to the Democrats today. Wilson, you know, handing the torch over to FDR, to Johnson, to, you know, Obama. I mean, it's been progressivism in the Democrat Party ever since Wilson, because and they call it progressivism because socialism was an unpopular term. But if the parties had flipped, I guess the question I have is, how did Bill Clinton and Al Gore, who were two Southern Democrats, win Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri, New Mexico in the 1992 presidential election?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a number of races like that. Jimmy Carter did very well in the South. So I think my take, and I haven't run these regressions, so I don't necessarily know. I don't have a sophisticated breakdown of all of this. But if you're really looking at how Democrats do in the North and the South, I mean, you'd have to look at how many people in each state, each region, identify as conservatives, as liberals, as members of each party. So what's the pool of potential Democrats from, say, Alabama that are going to run and run there seriously? That's the first thing. I mean, what policies are the parties presenting? What's the pool of potential voters that they're drawing from? So if you've got multiracial but conservative executives moving to certain, I mean, you think Nashville, Austin, Birmingham, from around the country, which of the two parties are they more likely to cast their ballot for? The whole Southern strategy thing, I mean, Nixon said the phrase a couple of times, and Dick Nixon wasn't the most, you know, ethical guy alive, you may know. But the phrase that most people are referring to comes from an interview with Lee Atwater, where he said, you know, there were some discussions about whether to use this strategy of appealing to racism. But what's usually cut out of the interview is that Lee Atwater said the Southern strategy didn't work. Like, there's actually a quote where he says, you know, you can't say the N-word anymore. A lot of the electorate's black. Most people aren't racist. You have to talk about taxes. So even when people have said, okay, this was tried, that doesn't explain why people started voting for Republicans. By the way, population change in the USA is one of those giant things no one talks about. Like, people will occasionally mention white flight, and the implication will be that millions of people just leaving their ancestral neighborhoods had nothing to do with racial tensions or riots or something like that. It was just due to racism. But the broader trends of American population mobility are almost never discussed. They're boring. They counter the current narrative. But the majority of the population movement in the past 50 years has been to the South and West. Like, the Midwest went from being the largest or second largest region of the country to the smallest, for example.
Yeah. The book is Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. I want to ask you about Native Americans were one of the lies. Native Americans were peaceful people who spent all day dancing.
Yes, dancing and making love, I think, was the final chapter title. Yes, that is not true.
Dances with wolves while making love, I think, will be the movie that'll come out. So that's not true? They didn't spend all day dancing and making love, the Native Americans?
No, I mean, so the whole thing with natives, now I assume most, like, young guys who are interested in the fighting arts or hunting or something have a pretty realistic perspective on the natives. But in terms of what's actually taught in the schools, like, I got a copy of the U.S. government's Native Americans curriculum, and it's just incredible, like, we conquered paradise type of drivel. Like, one passage is the sky was full of birds, the rivers were full of fish, the land was full of game animals. You know, trees grew everywhere but were never taken in vain. And I can only imagine some canny old Indian chief that fought Custer looking through this and laughing if they could read, if you could get through it in English. But, like, it was just, I wrote a whole chapter about this. I didn't intend to originally, but I said, you know, the natives, they were great warriors, they were great poets, they had their strengths, they treated women reasonably well, unless they were captives, which is something we talk about in the chapter. But the Native Americans were stone and Bronze Age barbarians in the literal sense. And they acted just like people of that kind always do, like the Vikings or the Zulus or whatever. At least those people were in the Iron Age. So, I mean, like, the natives were continually at war with one another. There were Native American societies that were run entirely by cannibals, like the Aztec civilization. Slavery obviously existed in the native world. I mean, another chapter of the book is just making the point that slavery was universal. The word for slave in most languages, at least you got until you got for calligraphy into the modern written word, just meant defeated warrior. So natives followed that practice just like Africans, just like whites. You know, I go into the native wars with the whites. The wars weren't caused by some kind of organized genocidal intent. They were just the result of the fact that young men on both sides kept breaking the treaties and stealing horses, which is kind of a sport for fun, stealing people's wives, shooting farmers. And so you have this short, bloody war that lasts 10 years, and you have 5 years of peace. The natives are actually pretty good farmers in some of the eastern tribes. And then you'd have, you know, another young man, white or quote-unquote red, that would, you know, commit some atrocity, and then you have 5 years of bloody war. The Middle East is actually a pretty good metaphor, but I think I discuss what kind of pre-modern and, for the natives, pre-Christian human life was like.
Chris Rufo reviewed your book and said, Wilfred Riley channels the spirit of Thomas Sowell in his new book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, which masterfully debunks left-wing talking points on race, sex, colonialism, and more. Riley is a fearless writer who delights in confronting long-standing taboos and marshaling social science to correct the recording. The book is the antidote to mindless liberalism. Well done. That's a great review right there.
I don't know, he might have owed me a favor or something. But yeah, no, I mean, probably, he said he wanted to review it, and I really appreciate what he said. Yeah. The book, quite a few people have looked at it. They seem not to hate it. Ben Shapiro's a reviewer. Carol Swain is a reviewer. So there's some serious academics that have jumped in and taken a look at it. Historians at Hillsdale and I believe Georgia have looked at it and didn't, you know, totally condemn it. So, I mean, it's, yeah, the reviews are starting to come in, that sort of thing. And obviously, you always want those to be good. One issue with conservative books in general, or even kind of heterodox right-leaning books, we're talking about James Lindsay sort of stuff, is that very often the way the media handles them is just by not analyzing them at all.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're talking about James, you could say, well, this guy's a little hyperbolic, but also, you know, why are there 8-week sex education courses in the schools? And if you don't want people to start asking that question, you just resolve the debate by not having it. So I'm glad to see that I did escape that. And probably that's because I published with a pretty major press. I published with HarperCollins. So it was a little harder to just totally ignore me, I think.
But do you get into the fact that R2-D2 is a lesbian? Did you talk about that at all in your book or no?
No. I heard that the Star Wars, the people behind the new Star Wars movie were claiming that this is the gayest Star Wars movie ever and that all the...
Yeah, you want to hear we have the audio. You want to hear it?
Okay.
All right, here. Play 25.
I want to ask you both because this is, I would say, arguably the gayest Star Wars, I think, by a considerable margin. And Are you excited about that? Are you
not
bracing
the
yourself?
Star Wars. Not the
It's pretty gay, let's be honest. Leslie, are you... How do you feel?
Am I gay? Yes.
Well, no, I know you are gay, but I'm asking, are you excited about putting this... You know, this is going to be a talking point.
Is it going to be a talking point?
I'm sure so.
Because nerds are gay.
Well, some nerds are very not gay and are very threatened by gay stuff.
Well, that's true. But in my world, nerds are gay.
Okay. Was this the fun element of...
No, I don't think so. And yet people have told me that it's the gayest Star Wars, and I frankly...
You're offended?
Into it. No.
I think that Star Wars is so gay already.
Okay.
I mean, have you seen it's the fits? We'd be like, look how gay this is, and then send each other a reference.
And are you telling me, with a straight face, that C-3PO is straight?
They're a couple. That's what I think. But this is more outward.
I think it's canon that R2-D2 is a lesbian.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh. Yeah.
Huh.
Ask Filoni. Okay.
Ask Filoni.
Can you imagine?
Dr. Riley?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's pretty wild. Now, again, a lot of this stuff, if we didn't have a 24-hour media culture, which both you and I participate in with some skill, I think a lot of this stuff would just slide under the radar. In this case, I think it would probably be a negative for families and so on. Because as stupid as it is, it does matter. You know, Star Wars is one of those legendary entertainment franchises. And, you know, of course, R2-D2 is not gay. He's a robot with our genitals, you know, so. And we all call him he. He's actually referred to as he. He's an R2 model in the movies. But anyway, whatever. Like, so, yeah, the deeper thing with all this is that people who have these ideas generally want them taken pretty seriously. So, I mean, the idea that R2-D2 is gay and so on, the real question would be, like, how many of the characters in this movie or in this TV show, as I understand, are going to be, say, heterosexual, Caucasian, or for that matter, African-American males, you know, in normal relationships? Because there are people who draw those little lessons about life at 11 or 12 from this kind of stuff. So, like, is every character a powerful gay alien woman that can do magic? I mean, hopefully not. We'll see. Well, I mean, I won't personally. I don't watch any of that stuff anyway, but... Like, a large audience will see.
I think
and
you're
if
right, though.
It hates it. I mean, this is probably going to be another thing that no one watches and then gets condemned for bigotry for not watching.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The people behind this take this stuff way too seriously. All right, Dr. Wilfred Riley, the book is Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. It is out now for pre-order, but it officially comes out on June 11th. We are going to we want to do an event with you. We want to do a signing. There's so many people in Philadelphia that want to meet you. So you're definitely going to have to join us for that. Absolutely. But the last thing I want to ask you before I let you go here is Joy Reid made a comment that I wanted you to comment on. She called Missouri a slave state as far as being a woman is concerned. And factcheck.org explains that there's no law in Missouri that prevents pregnant women from getting divorced. But social media posts claim Missouri women cannot divorce their spouse if they are pregnant. Legal experts told us a judge may wait to finalize a divorce until after a baby is born to determine custody and other arrangements. But this is the lie that she put out on MSNBC. Cut 26.
And you've left off, Claire, that in your state, it's illegal for a pregnant woman to get an abortion. So they've also gone after no-fault divorce. So if you're a pregnant and you're in a marriage with an abusive spouse, you can't even get a divorce once you become pregnant. You become the property of both your husband and the state. They have joint ownership of you in the state of Missouri. That is a slave state as far as being a woman is concerned, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I know. Back when that was put into law, it was to try to hold people accountable for the babies they had fathered. But in this day and age, everybody needs to understand that what it does, it keeps a woman in a marriage.
You're an attorney. You want to comment on that?
Well, I think there are a couple of different things. First of all, I think the claim is completely idiotic. You know, I don't want to say something like, go stay with your mom, but obviously slavery is a state of bondage generally after military defeat that one can't leave. So being in a tough divorce is not analogous to being a slave. That just doesn't make any sense in Rome or the Confederacy or something. The other thing with that is that it's legally not accurate. So, I mean, when she says Missouri's banning, I guess I have 3 points here. Secondarily, when she says Missouri is considering a ban on no-fault divorce, like, I support a ban on no-fault divorce. No-fault divorce means you can immediately, within about a week, divorce someone if they haven't done anything. like you're just mildly bored sleeping with them in particular and you don't want to go to therapy. And that's been a real problem for families. So obviously, if your husband or your wife, let's not forget, is abusive, that's what's called fault divorce. So there's no point there at all. Like, a whole bunch of things are faults. Like, financial improvligacy is a fault. Like, denial of sex is a fault. Like, about a quarter of all couples could break up if they wanted to. So, no, you don't have to stay with a wife batterer. But the third thing is, I think we've become used to this idea that you can be in romantic relationships without having to do anything. I mean, so there are these conversations on Twitter. I mean, I mentioned sex a couple times. We don't need to go into that aspect of it. But, like, there was a debate on Twitter the other day on the men's side of things about, like, are you less attracted to women if you don't have a job? And the answer, of course, is yes. Like, obviously, it's reasonable to expect your partner to want to breadwin for the family, be intimate with you, meet your family. I mean, like, and I don't think it's wildly unreasonable to say, like, if you're actually pregnant and you're past the mark where you can get an abortion, which in Missouri is still, like, 3 months, you guys should try to work it out until you have the baby so you can decide what you're going to do with the baby. Like, obviously, the ideal for society would be that you stay together. The idea that you could abort the baby at 6 months and then get divorced, I don't really see that as the moral position here. Like, I'm not exactly, like, the morals guy when it comes to my commentary. But I really do think we've moved to almost an evil place where the default assumption is no one should ever have to do anything. And I don't think that's long-term feasible.
I agree. And it's a good take. Well, this is why you're here, to set us straight. Lies my liberal teacher told me, Dr. Wilfred Riley, get the book now. It comes out next week. Congratulations, my man, on writing it. I can't wait to read it. I was not sent an advanced copy, unlike Ben Shapiro, but that's, I'm not hurt. I'm not bitter.
I think the publisher sent you one, actually.
Well, good. I would hope so. HarperCollins, get on this. Let's do this.
Let's do it. It's important. What needs to be done?
Come on. We will talk again next week. I'd like to see if we can do another day besides Friday, because I actually have to be off next Friday. But since the book is coming out, I'd like to see if we can get you on earlier in the week. So I'll let you work that out with Matt. But congratulations. Lies my liberal teacher told me. Dr. Wilfred Riley, have a great weekend, buddy.
Thank you. Bye.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rick Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right. The big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venere, is that this letter appears to be very, very true, very real, by Judge Mershon. And again, Dr. Mike Venere of VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaVeneriaDental.com. The court became aware of a comment that was posted on the Unified Court Systems public Facebook page, which I now bring to your attention. In the comment, the user Michael Anderson states, and this is addressed to Trump's legal counsel, Todd Blanche Esquire, along with the district attorney's office. My cousin is a juror and says Trump is getting convicted. Thank you, folks, for all your hard work. And this, obviously, in my opinion, is absolutely grounds for a mistrial without question. And it's blowing up big time before our eyes. So we'll talk more about that. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. My great friends over there would love to see you. This is the perfect time for you to stop by Cherry Hill Volvo, because they have an amazing special for you. And that is that if you are a Costco member, you're going to get an additional $1,000 off a brand new Volvo. Plus, incredible incentives and already aggressive promotions because of their renovation special. So whether it's the S-Class made right here in South Carolina, the XC40, XC60, or the XC90, the XC90 that Bridget drives with the third row, the XC60 I drive, it's the big mid-range SUV. I love it. Safe and fast, beautiful, stylish. Volvos are some of the safest cars on the road, and you are going to love, love, love driving one. But most importantly, you're going to love the experience at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter. So go see them today. And Judith Krupnik, Yosef Cohen, the entire team will take great care of you. And remember, the renovation is not a big deal. I was just there. But because of the renovation, they're doubling down on the promotions and the incentives, and you get the additional $1,000 off because if you are a Costco member. So it is the best time to go. Do it today. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
That a juror may have been blabbing about the verdict. And under New York criminal law, a defendant can move to vacate a verdict on the basis of juror misconduct, if and only if he can prove by a preponderance of the evidence that the misconduct not only occurred, but created a substantial risk of prejudice. So attorneys for Trump did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Friday afternoon, but the judge's letter again shows that somebody posted on Facebook, my cousin is a juror, and said Trump is getting convicted. Thank you, folks, for all your hard work. Mershon said that the comment, which was attributed to a user identified as Michael Anderson, was now labeled as 1 week old and was posted in response to a routine notice from the court posted on May 29th about oral arguments unrelated to proceedings in Trump's case. So this is going to be big. This is going to blow up in a big, big way. And you're hearing about it right now, just for the first time. Hunter Biden's in court today. I want to play you this clip. This is Hunter's ex, London Roberts, telling Piers Morgan that Joe Biden, the president of the United States, still to this day, has not reached out to his 5-year-old granddaughter. Cut 17.
Have you ever heard from either President Biden or the First Lady directly?
No.
Not a phone call or a letter or anything?
No.
Do you find that surprising?
No. No, I don't really. I feel like that's something that, you know, they've waited for Hunter to step up.
Amazing. Just truly, truly amazing. And you know, if that was, I mean, if Trump was ignoring his five-year-old granddaughter, the media would be out there killing him. But of course, they just pretend like this little girl doesn't exist, and they just, it's truly pathetic. The unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, I got a clip I'm going to play for you in just a moment of him. But here is his cohort, James Carville. He's raging right now, very angry about how the Democrats are doing with regards to Trump. Cut 13.
I don't think that's the role of the news media at a time when the entire Constitution is in peril. I don't have anything against slanted coverage. I really don't. I think I would have something against it under most other times in American history, but not right now. Your objectivity. The real objectivity in this country right now is we either going to have a constitution or we not. And everything else from Hunter Biden's gun application to Judge Mershon's, I don't know, $35 contribution to all of the that the professional center feels like they got to put out. I can't tell you that these are bad people. They're extremely naive people that have no idea of what's at stake here in this election. So I think we need slanted coverage, more slanted coverage, and I think we got to recognize the threat.
There you go. More slanted coverage. F your objectivity. Trump was on with Dr. Phil, and he said the country is worse off because the Democrats weaponized the legal system. He's exactly right about this. And this idea of revenge. Cut 4.
I think you have so much to do, you don't have time to get even. You only have time to get right.
Well, revenge does take time, I will say that.
It does.
And sometimes revenge can be justified, Phil. I have to be honest. You know, sometimes it can.
But is the country better or worse for them going after you?
I think the country is really worse for what they've done. And I think you see that when you look at the poll numbers. When you see that almost $400 million has poured in since this horrible decision was made. That was a few days ago. Numbers that nobody's ever heard of in politics before. It's a great honor. The people of our country get it. You know, they're very smart. Taken as a whole, I have to say, they're very smart. But it's been an honor being with you. It really has. And I think you'd be very proud of the job we do.
By the way, he was also asked about locking up Hillary Clinton. And, you know, this controversy has renewed its head, this lock her up chant from the convention. But he didn't. He got elected and he didn't go after Hillary Clinton. They went after him. He didn't go after Hillary Clinton. They went after him, though. And this is why he didn't go after Hillary Clinton, even though they did the chants. Because there's a difference between words and actions, as we all know, obviously. Cut 6.
As an example with Hillary Clinton, I'd mention her name. Everyone's screaming, thousands and thousands. Yeah, we just had 107,000 people show up in New Jersey. You saw that. 25,000 people showed up in the South Bronx.
In the South Bronx.
But we had Wildwood, New Jersey. 107,000 people is a record. They'd never had that. When I mention the name Hillary in the previous to the last election, they said, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. But I would be there, and I'm trying to almost quiet them. Now they were going crazy. How would it be I win and I lock Hillary Clinton up? The president's wife, the former president's wife, I locked her up. And how would it be if I took the Secretary of State, she was Secretary of State, and we threw her into a prison someplace? I think it was terrible. And yet now they're trying to do that with me. Think of it. I didn't want to do that. I could have done that pretty easily. She busted up her phones and she busted up her laptops and what they did, and they put bleach bit. You know what bleach bit is? It's so expensive, nobody uses it because it's an acid and it wipes everything out. Could have done it really easy. Don't forget, she disobeyed a subpoena from the United States Congress, and she broke up all this machinery, all this technology, after she got the subpoena. Think of it. How would it look if I took a president of the United States wife and threw her into a prison. I hated it because I wanted to bring the country together, and I largely did. And I brought it together through success because it was the most successful economy.
See, that's the key right there. He didn't do it, and that's the difference. That's the key. He wanted to bring the country together, and they wanted to go after him and put him in prison. All right, listen, a lot more show to come for you. We're just getting warmed up here. But Omaha Steaks, come on. Father's Day is right around the corner. What are you waiting for? You go to omahasteaks.com right now. You put in my name, Zioli, at checkout. You're going to get gift packages for dad starting at just $89. $89! Look, I'm a dad. I got three kids. In a moment, I'm going to talk about the lemonade stand that my kids want to do this weekend to raise money for kids with cancer. I love being a dad. I love it, but I love great food, and I'm telling you what dad wants. Dad wants Omaha Steaks. They're the absolute best. You're not going to find a better steak. Their steaks are aged for 28 days, minimum. 28 days to bring out that flavor and that freshness. And they got so many choices to choose from. Juicy pork chops. They got seafood. They got desserts and side dishes. You go to omahasteaks.com. Put in my name, Zioli, Z-E-O-L-I, at checkout. You will get the gift packages for dad starting at just $89. That's right, but you have to use my promo code. And you got to do it now because Father's Day is next weekend. So what are you waiting for? Please do it right now. OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Zioli at checkout. Gift packages for dad that he's going to love for only $89. OmahaSteaks.com.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Come home the other day, and Bridget says to me, Patrick and Claire want to do a lemonade stand. And I said, all right, well, you know, and I'm thinking we sell some lemonade on the driveway. No, it's bigger than that. They're doing this to raise money for children with cancer. And it's an incredible organization called Sunday's Kids. And here to talk about it with me is the daughter of one of my dearest friends, Dr. Mike Veneria. I want to welcome to the show, Nicole Montgomery. Hello, Nicole.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. This is so cool.
So what is this organization, and tell us how it started.
Okay, so about a year and a half ago, my sister and a friend of ours and myself were looking into some community service opportunities for our kids. And after searching through the internet and our local communities, we were unable to find anything. My kids were little, 6, 4, and 2 at the time. So we decided to kind of start our own group. So we call ourselves the Sunday Kids East Coast. And after 18 months, we've become a official 501c3. We're a nonprofit where we do a community service project each month and then do some kind of collection that benefits our direct community. So I run one in Morristown, and my sister and our friend runs one in Malvern, PA. And then we have another friend who does it in Maryland.
Hmm. So this weekend, what we're going to do is we're going to join in on this and help out. We're by having a lemonade stand, people can donate. We're not going to be selling lemonade because I don't know if that's street legal or not. Doesn't matter. But we'll have donations there, and I'm going to have lemonade and sugar free lemonade, Nicole, because I grew up drinking Crystal Light, so I don't like the sweet stuff, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But the question, though, that I have is how much money are you looking to raise this weekend? And then where does the money go?
Okay. So we've had a few lemonade stands already last week and over Memorial Day weekend. So we're running them through the course of the month of June. And all the proceeds raised go to CHOP Cancer Center in honor of 4 local Morristown girls who have either been diagnosed with cancer and are in remission, or one of our dear friends actually just got diagnosed in February. She's a kindergartner, a very close friend with my daughter.
Oh.
So all the money raised is going to go towards these 4 girls in their honor, and all the money goes towards cancer research at CHOP. So we're looking to raise $10,000. We've already raised close to $4,000 so far. So I think it's attainable.
Yeah, I do, because the generosity of people, especially when it comes to kids and kids battling cancer, is remarkable. So, well, we'll be in Mount Laurel this weekend. We're going to be at Laurel Acres. I don't know exactly where in Laurel Acres. It's a big park, but we'll be somewhere, and my kids will be doing the lemonade stand. I'll probably be supervising, and I imagine my daughter Reagan, who's 4, will be running around terrorizing everybody. But it should be a lot of fun. I'd love for people to stop by and say hello if they're in the area. I salute you, Nicole, for doing this, and I think it's important. I was saying yesterday was the show on D-Day, and I spent a lot of time talking about D-Day and the importance of wanting to be part of a cause bigger than yourself. And I said to Bridget a while ago, I said, let me rephrase that. Bridget said to me a while ago, we got to get our kids involved in something. We need to have them doing something and giving back and not just coming home every day and turning on the TV and just doing their own thing. They need to understand what it's like to actually give their time and sacrifice to help other people and do something good. And so we decided to get in on this because we met you and we love your dad, Dr. Mike Veneria. I think the world of the guy. And so he put us together. And I think it's important for kids to understand, hey, you know what? There's some people out there who have it a lot harder than you in life. It's a lot tougher than you. And you have to open your eyes to that. And you've got to give your time and you've got to give your energy to help other people. It's important. You gotta look at life as bigger than just yourself and give back. And so I salute you for doing this. I think that's exactly the right way to promote that. So
thank you very much. That's exactly what we're, looking to do and aiming for. And we've done some pretty remarkable things over the course of the last year and a half. And I think we're really making a difference in our community and teaching our kids how lucky they are. And it's always nice to help someone out who's less fortunate.
Okay, so what's the website, Nicole?
The website is thesundaykidseastcoast.com, and you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaykidseastcoast08057.
All right, cool. I'll post something on my IG. That's what the kids call it, right? The IG?
Yep, that's it.
All right, Nicole, thanks for joining me, and I will be talking soon.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.